Welcome to Jawa Jabber, a Star Wars podcast dedicated to spreading our own little slice of positivity throughout the galaxy. From the prequels to the sequels to every Disney Plus spinoff they want to throw at us, we're here to celebrate any time we get to spend in our favorite galaxy together, and we want you to come along for the ride. I'm David Wren, joined by my bro hosts Dennis, Kyle, and Matt. We invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy our fully armed and operational podcast.
And this is Jawa Jabber.
Hello there, Star Wars fans, and welcome to another new episode of Jawa Jabber. So tonight, before we get started, I just wanted to take a moment to pay respects to someone who last evening unfortunately became one with the Force. Marcus was a pillar of the Star Wars fan community, a leading member of the 501st, and a big part of our extended Star Wars Celebration family. From all the outpouring of love on his various social media pages, Marcus was clearly beloved by all who knew him and will certainly be missed. Our heart goes out to Lisa and the kids. Sorry, I'm reading this because I didn't want to, you know, mess it up, and I went and messed it up anyway. But anyway, Marcus, we love you, man. And while we're on that subject, just make sure, and I know I reached out to you guys last night when I heard the news, but make sure you take every opportunity to tell your loved ones that you love them, and, you know, look out for people that are having issues and talk to them. And, you know, even if they say that they're fine, you know, just make sure we're all one community and make sure everybody's got everybody's back.
Agreed.
Right. Now, after that somber note, hey guys.
Hey guys.
All right. Hey guys. So we're going to start. We are back and we are talking about not one, not two, but we are talking about three episodes of Ahsoka tonight. Oh my God. I almost said Jawa Jabber. We are talking about three episodes of Ahsoka tonight. We had the two episode premiere last week. And Matt's back.
Matt's back.
Yay.
And I just want to take this opportunity to tell you guys that I love you guys. And I appreciate our brotherhood.
I love all y'all. We're the Loath Pack. And we love
you guys too.
You know, yes, we all came here because of Star Wars, but, you know, it's about a lot more than that. So, yeah. All right. So it started with last week, and it was episode 1 and 2, which were fantastic. And then we had a semi-shorter episode 3 this week, but it was also fantastic. All right, so we're going to start by talking about episode 1. Kyle, do you want to mention about the directors and stuff?
Yeah, of course. So episode 1, Master and Apprentice, was directed by none other than Dave Filoni, and the director of photography was Eric Steelberg, who most recently worked on the Hawkeye show, the Marvel spinoff for Disney Plus. Both episodes 2 and 3 were directed by Steph Green. She directed episode 2 of Book of Boba Fett, which I think we all agree is probably the best of that series. She did the new Watchmen show on HBO, and then The Americans, which is another really solid show. And they had two different directors of photography for that. So Eric Steelberg was back for that one. And then, not going to butcher the first name, but the last name is Tren. And they were the director of photography for that Maid show on Netflix, if you've seen that before.
Yeah, okay. I've heard of it. I haven't seen it, but I've heard of it, yeah. All right, yeah. I mean, I figured just because episode 1 and 2, since they were aired together, you know, in my head, could you imagine waiting a week for that cliffhanger in episode 1? That would have been terrible.
Yeah, I'm glad
especially
that they did that.
Especially if you haven't seen Rebels.
Absolutely. I'm glad they did that with this and that they did it with the Kenobi series, because when we were on that red carpet and we saw that together, I would not have been satisfied with just one episode.
That's very true also. And then the Ahsoka fan event that they did a couple days beforehand, they showed the two episodes also, right? It wasn't just the one?
Correct. Yeah, I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, cool. I thought it was a really solid start.
Well, I thought the opening references were really interesting.
You got to remind us, man. I have not seen that episode again. lately.
What?
It was very akin to A New Hope and Phantom Menace. It was almost like the inverted scene from the opener from Phantom Menace where Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan land on that ship. And then obviously the New Hope kind of references there in the beginning, and the undertones in the score are very similar as well.
Wait, I have a question, because now I'm remembering it a little more. What do you guys think of the opening crawl? That it wasn't the same that we're used to with Star Wars, and it was red, and it wasn't like it was old.
I loved the opening crawl.
Okay.
Like,
I did
personally.
Too.
David and I were texting during it. We were. Because Kyle said not to text him, and that was fine, and we respected it. And then I put a thing or two in the group chat, and then Matt just sent me a text, and we were texting each other the rest of the episode. But then something went wrong with your internet, and like you were like an hour behind me or something.
What else is new? Something went wrong with Matt's internet.
Something went wrong with the Radar Tech's internet. I'm not sure why, but yeah, no, like you were texting me, and I'm like, dude, I watched this like almost an hour ago. Like, what is wrong? But I loved the opening crawl. I thought it was, you know, like it was different than the movies, like, you know, obviously with it being red and a different starfield and the music.
Yeah, do you think there's anything to that? Like, why did he make it red?
I mean,
that's just what Dave does, man.
I was gonna say Dave did it with the Clone Wars and, you know, other stuff.
Okay.
You know, like it's interesting. Like, remember when I freaked out with the Clone Wars logo and how that was red? Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I really liked that. Yeah, Matt, what were you gonna say, bud?
He did an opening crawl for the first episode, and then they didn't do one for any the rest of the show, which is a unique thing,
right?
So I mean, I like that he brought it back for the first of the show, and then you were wondering whether it was gonna come back for every episode. Obviously not needed, but I thought it was a nice touch. That was a nice touch.
I thought it was a great touch. It kind of sets it up. It's, you know, like it's like the movies. And
yeah, exactly. I feel like he's opened it like a film.
Right. Like it's very Star Wars and it works. And I know the other shows haven't done it and that's fine. Like, but you know, it's another thing that kind of sets Ahsoka apart from the other series, and I'm more than okay with that. You know, trying not to be biased here, but she is one of my favorite characters. So the better the show, the more happy I am. So, you know, you want to put that opening crawl in there. But yeah, and I liked that it was different, you know, like they didn't do like the John Williams score. They didn't do, you know, like they didn't even do the crawl the same. It was just straight up. It wasn't angled. Like, you know, they took something familiar and made it different.
Kyle, I don't know if you know, so if you don't, that's fine. I'm just kind of wondering, do we know who did? I mean, I know Kevin Kiner did a lot of the music, so it wasn't John Williams, but like, do we know if he did that for the opening crawl?
The only credited score artists would be the Kiners. So that's Kevin and his two kids.
Right. Okay. I was going to say, Kevin did all of it, right?
Was there a different...
Yeah, it's the Kiners, like the family.
Was there a different person that got credit for the Sabine song?
The Sabine music?
Yeah, the Sabine music when she's...
I think it's all Kiners.
When she was flying down the expressway.
There's another artist.
Oh, okay. I think that was involved.
It's like an actual artist they hired, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it was singing, like it was music with like singing lyrics when Sabine was like...
I got it. I remember seeing a Reddit. It was called the Illuminati Hotties.
Yes. Yeah, it was called. Like, which is awesome because it was awesome music, but it was definitely a different artist like helped kind of come up with that.
Yeah,
music
it was very more like rock music, and it totally fit with Sabine's personality.
Kind of, I would say punk rock. I would throw that out as punk rock music.
Yes, absolutely. Like, not just regular rock. Yeah.
Can't we call it Sabine Rock?
We could.
And it would fit perfectly.
I think we're gonna name it Sabine Rock. But yeah, so how about that first scene with Ahsoka and the Temple of Doom, as I call it?
The Temple of Doom.
I mean, because it had very Indiana Jones vibes.
And yeah, absolutely.
I'm not saying that in a negative way either. Like, I thought it was really cool. I thought visually it looked very neat. Like, I don't know. It looked like a big set. It didn't look like the volume to me. Like, it looked... I think the whole show looks really good. I don't know. Like, I don't know if they're mixing, like, real sets with the volume or... I'm not really sure what they're doing. I know we'll find out more when we get the eventual gallery release of the behind the scenes stuff, but I don't know. I'm very impressed. And this opening scene, like, it definitely drew me in, even if it is a map. It's a trope at this point. It's a Star Wars thing. You know, they're going to look for a map and they're going to, you know, find the ancient thing and they're going to go look for whoever. So if they're going to lean into that, all right, you know, sure, whatever, I'm game. What do you guys think, Matt?
So,
what were your thoughts
when I was watching her like walking in on that scene? All it reminded me of was the scene of her walking away from the Jedi Temple. And so when she got to the end of that scene, and she's like at the near end of the Jedi Temple, and it's just like you see her, and she's really small, and she's got her cloak over her head. It was kind of like 100% like a, you know, a reciprocal of that scene. And then she, like, obviously the Jedi Temple and that temple aren't the same, but like it kind of mirrored itself in a way. And I don't know how, what that means or what it could mean. It could mean nothing. It could, you know, but I felt like
it could also mean something.
I found it interesting that scene that I connected that with was her walking away from the Jedi, and she's saying, I'm not a Jedi anymore, I'm done. And then she's coming back, and you don't know, is she coming back to the Jedi? And as she's coming into the situation and she's taking on Sabine, like, what it, like, is she coming back to the Jedi? I don't know. And I find that like parallel and that like imaging interesting, and I think it's pretty cool, and we'll see what happens, I guess.
Matt, I got to go back on this, and I don't mean to interrupt you at all, but like when you said that she looks small, like David can attest to this, that when I was watching this, I was like, and we actually sent it in the whole chat, but like, no disrespect to Rosario at all, but she's so small. Like, when I saw her, I was like, this looks like Ahsoka to me, like when she was back in the Clone Wars, just because when we saw her in Rebels, she's kind of like a taller kind of, you know, just much more, you know, imposing of a threat. Like, she's taller than Rex and everything. But when I saw her here, I was like, man, I had no idea that Rosario was that small. But if you had Ashley even playing that, it would still be, her stature would be smaller. And but that just, I feel like in that specific scene that you're talking about, like the things that she does, it just brings about more of like the power and like the I don't know what the word is, but like essentially like her ability to take over whatever is happening, like with those robots, right? With the HKs, like it demonstrates that she's got like the ability to just, like, she's not even trying, but she's kicking their butt essentially.
Yeah, and she holds herself very
exactly
tall. That's, also, you know,
that's
like
what I'm trying to say. Yeah,
yeah, like she, I don't know, the height hasn't. I mean, I feel like that's just that's a translation from live action from animation. You know what I mean? Like it happens. Like, you know, you cast a certain actress, you're not gonna. They complained about Hayden. Because he was shorter than Darth Vader, you know?
Is Ahsoka like, supposed to be, before, like, really tall?
According to Dennis, I don't think she is.
I mean, Ash...
She's tall. But, like, I feel like the Rebels, like, going, like David said, from animated to live action, I don't know the way that they filmed it. It just looked like she was a lot shorter, like she was in the Clone Wars series versus when she was in Rebels. Like, the stature and the height of, like, her Leku, right? Or,
well,
like,
I was
going
to say, I'm looking at my action figures right now, and, I mean, her Leku are definitely taller in Rebels.
Yeah, it was just the animation
and in
style.
That animation, but I was going to say, that's that style. Like, you right. know, like Vader's helmet looked a little different. Like, it was more whatever. It had that Ralph McQuarrie vibe to it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think mm-hmm. that was just it's the just, general
I don't
style
mean to
of the show.
Yeah, I don't mean I to say she's, my, like, in small opinion. In no. that, like, that's a bad thing. But it's just, like,
right.
she's small in stature, but extremely powerful in the Force, right? So it doesn't really matter what her size is, but I definitely recognize that, like Matt said, like, she's a little smaller than what we saw in the animation.
I'd say size matters not. Come on, take
exactly.
it back to the original. Size matters not.
I thought it was a nice intro.
Right?
It reminded me a lot of Raiders of the Lost Ark with the the opening scene. But no, it was good. There were some shots to me that lingered a little too long, but I feel like Dave is trying to get you into the headspace of these characters in the first episode. And as we've progressed, it's definitely paid off. A lot of those smaller moments, like where she's using the Force Echo and she's listening to the chamber of these like pillars to unlock them.
I
love like what Cal or Quinlan Vos would do. Like, it reminds me a lot of Quinlan Vos in the Clone Wars, but
I love that power, by the way. That is...
Yeah, those moments pay off a lot, I think, in
that
the long
is
run.
Really cool how, like when she went to Sabine's later on and, yeah. like, you know, like, she knew the droid was still there and stuff because she... it was so cool. Like, I loved it. I love new Force powers. And, you know, like you said, they're not very new because of Clone Wars and stuff, but new for live action, at least in my eyes. It would be new. All right, what about the star map? What did we think of the star map?
I thought it was like Treasure Planet, if you guys ever seen that before.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yes!
I brought it up before the podcast. I thought that was important. It was
you
really,
did.
Really neat little device.
Uh-huh. I loved it. And I want one of those. Like,
like they'll make a prop. Yeah.
Right, like either as like, you know,
a
one of the...
paperweight. We have paperweight for you.
Right. I mean, like, but like, you know, we have like the Life Day orbs and stuff. Why not? Mm-hmm. Why not make one of those star
sure.
maps? Like,
I'm sure they will.
I hope so, because I think it'd be really neat. And,
I mean, you got to go back to like Spaceballs, right? Like, it's all about merchandise. They're going
right.
to make it, you know,
right.
like people will buy it.
I don't know. We're still waiting for our Ben Solo action figure.
I don't know if that's ever going to happen, and I'm really salty about it.
It better happen. If I have to infiltrate Hasbro and, like, I don't know, like...
Hasbro,
get
listen,
in on the
like, you've been listening to the fans, and I know that now with Ahsoka and the HK droid, right, they've taken off the carbonized baloney that they've started trying to do. And they've actually listened to that. So that whole set is not quote unquote shiny or carbonized again. So please at least allow us to enjoy the redemption of Kylo Ren in Ben Solo with an action figure. I would love that. That's
yes.
all I'm asking for.
The vintage collection, Black Series. I don't care. Pick one. Do both.
Jeez.
I don't
yes, please.
Care. Because I know Matt and I have given up the Black Series, but I will buy a Ben Solo Black Series. I promise. I'll probably buy two or three.
Or
so, you know.
That, and if it wouldn't be too much to ask, guys, just, you know, just an Emperor Palpatine, you know, reborn. That would be nice, too.
Yeah, because right now we only have the Funko Pop, right?
Yeah. Well, no, we don't even have the Funko Pop for the reborn one. No.
Yes, we do. I have it.
Well, I don't.
It's over here next to my Ben Solo. The other Ben Solo thing that I have is the Funko Pop. And then
really?
I have the little bust of the Reborn Palpatine.
Yeah, you have that for sure.
Right. Like I have that because I love those little, I don't know, 1/7 scale busts or whatever they are, like the
yeah.
mini busts or whatever. I love those. All right. So,
yeah, as we usually do on Jawa Jabber, we do get on little. Yeah,
can we get back to Ahsoka? I mean, we're getting there. We're going through time. But,
from the beginning of Jawa Jabber, we have had
our tangents.
What do we call them? Our tangents. Yes.
Tangents.
So,
yeah.
We're back to Ahsoka.
But like, so with this star map, the thing other than it looking really cool, the thing that kind of blew my mind, and for some reason I haven't seen a lot of chatter about it on Facebook, on you know, like, I know you guys go on like the Twitters and the Reddits and all that stuff, so maybe you guys have seen more than I have, but like the whole prospect of another galaxy, like, I don't know, to me that was a huge, like, wow, they're going here. Actually, I mentioned that was my reference in the group chat while we were watching it, because I know we said no spoilers, but like when I texted you guys and said, all right, boys, here we go, it was that moment when they said something about the other galaxy and that's where Thrawn is and whatever. Like, I just, I don't know, like, it just kind of, it got me. I was like, this is amazing. Like, this is, like, this is where we're going. This is opening up a whole new world, for lack of better, you know, like, I just, I don't know, like, I was personally taken aback, but in the best way possible. And it was another one of those, like, you know, I wasn't expecting, like, I didn't have all these expectations. So, like, I was able to just kind of go with the story. And, like, it makes sense now that that's where they're going. But I just, I didn't personally see it coming. And I was very, very excited. What did you guys think about, what did you guys think about that?
I think there's been one or two moments in each episode where you're like, oh my God, this redefines the way I think about Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I like that. It's kind of forcing you to think. And we'll get into a specific moment in episode 3 that made me feel that way.
Yep.
But it just kind of opens up your understanding. And I like that we're going in blind, besides the Thrawn scenes, to the back half of the season. Like, everything that we have yet to see is from the 4th episode. So after that, we don't know what any planet in this new galaxy looks like. And I'm so excited about that prospect.
Now, are some of the, like, you know, the end credits, we saw the translation and whatever of the Arabesh, like, was any of them the other galaxy, or are all those?
No, I don't think
our
so.
Our galaxy.
Yeah, they're all current planets.
They're all current planets.
I gotta say, though, you brought it up. I love the end credits. I love the music. I know it's reminiscent. I know. Like Matt said in our group chat, it's reminiscent of another show, but I honestly like it better, and I'm just going to put it out there.
Oh yeah. I think the end credits are great.
I love it. I think it's definitely like, it feels so Game of Thrones to me, like, in a way, but like so much better.
Well, yeah. Cause it's Star Wars.
I love
Wars.
It. I know.
But it's got that emotional impact to it too. It like does. Game of Thrones and is like kind of like getting you hyped up, but this is more like, I don't know. It just triggers something in my emotions where it's like, it makes me feel, I don't even know what the feeling is. It just makes me want to see more.
I agree too, because like, it's showing you eras of the galaxy that you don't know. And then going in to what you were just talking about, David, and where this is going, you know, into possibly a new galaxy. It's very interesting, because like, everything with Thrawn and everything that they talk about, like, I know you guys, I don't know how much of our readers or you guys dive into the novels and the expanded stuff, but like, a lot of that stuff with Thrawn and the Chiss Ascendancy and all that stuff is actually like not in another galaxy, it's in the unknown regions.
It's in the unknown regions, right?
So, like, when you talk about, like, you know, like, the Chiss Ascendancy and where Thrawn's from, like, Thrawn isn't really from another galaxy. He's in the unknown regions, I would assume.
Right. Right.
And so then when they start, like, you know, when we talk about, like, going into another galaxy in Star Wars, like, that's huge. Like, it's...
Yeah, because he was banished to that.
Right, like, they opened the map, and that's what they were saying. Like, it's going to another galaxy. So, like, it's like, wow. Like,
and
that's,
the cool... And I, like I said, will just
it,
say,
it blew my mind.
Which I will just say right here, maybe I shouldn't say here, but, like, Dave Filoni knew that, what, 5 years ago?
Oh, sure.
When he filmed that Rebels... You know,
he plays the long game. Yeah, he knew where they were.
I mean,
going.
When he sent Thrawn and Ezra into the unknown, like, he had that idea. Like, they're
It wasn't unknown to Dave, that's for sure.
There's no doubt about it. And this is the thing that you guys probably missed. And I talked about this in an episode probably half a year ago about my conversations with Timothy Zahn. But like,
I remember that. You were mentioning that.
This has been in some plans. Like, there's a reason behind a lot of this. So.
Oh, yeah,
We will get to that.
Again, Filoni is great at the long game. And I think that's what we like about him.
100%.
You know,
they've had a plan for Thrawn for the last 5-6 years.
Right.
100%.
I agree. I mean, there's always been something about Dave where he finds ways to weave and thread things in that have been ongoing for 5+ years. And that's something I'm excited about. And I like that we're going in a direction where you can kind of ignore what's going on in this current galaxy. Like, I just don't need to worry about it. I want to see what's going on over here. I think it's just exciting to kind of expand what we know about Star Wars. Like, is everybody in this other galaxy force sensitive? What kind of planets are they? What do they look like? I mean, we know absolutely nothing. I think that's just so cool.
What if the force doesn't exist in that other galaxy?
No, that cat's not.
Well,
possible.
No, we know. Yeah, we know something is similar. I mean,
it's
like,
gonna be in the whole universe.
That's where the Night Sisters come from. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm going to be brutally honest with you guys.
Oh, wait, what? The Night Sisters come from that other galaxy?
Yeah, did you listen to what Morgan said? She talks about how she's a survivor, but this is a distant land where her people like originate, basically, is what she said.
Oh, you're right. Oh,
yeah,
see,
I didn't remember that.
That went over my head, too. Huh. Oh, I didn't. Okay.
Yeah, ancient people from a distant galaxy.
Right.
So she's suggesting that that's where the Night Sisters originate from.
Which also,
oh, cool.
Which also invokes the Endor series. You know, like the old Endor, like Ewok series?
Or the Ewoks one? Okay.
Right. Yes. Yeah, what about it?
The witch in that movie is a witch of Dathomir.
You're right.
Yeah,
you are right. That's true. Wow. Filoni making the deep cuts.
I mean, there's
it.
A lot. Of, I mean, but the Witches of Dathomir are like in the expanded universe. Like, there's a lot
of
sure. depth there.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know, but it's still funny that, like even the Ewoks of Endor, like, there's a Witch of Dathomir in that. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's coming.
I was gonna say, I gotta be like really honest with you guys, like, I have not read any of the Thrawn novels. I know I probably should, because I'm sure they're really good. But with
I
Timothy
read the
Zahn.
Original ones,
but
and
the
then,
new ones now, even with like Ascendancy and stuff, I bought the book because
I thought
it was cool.
I have them. They're all over on my shelf. I haven't read them.
Yeah, I know, right? But like, I only bought it, and this is stupid of me, and I'm freely admitting this. I bought it because it was cool that they had the special edition blue-edged
the
pages.
The blue-edged pages, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's cool. Exactly. Right, but I've never read it yet, so it's still on my list, for sure.
Right. Yeah, no. And I wanted to read that. I think it's the second one of the first trilogy, where I know some of it takes place on Batuu, and like, I think Anakin's in it or something. Like, Thrawn and Anakin had like a run-in during the Clone Wars or something.
Yeah, like on Batuu. Yeah.
So to summarize,
like, I wanted to summarize it. Yeah,
Thrawn,
go ahead, man.
Thrawn and Anakin and Padme have a run-in on Batuu together. So Thrawn
and Padme. Cool.
Thrawn knew Anakin, and then he obviously also in the later trilogy had a run-in and knows Darth Vader. And Thrawn is so obviously. In the grand scheme of things, hardly anyone knows that Anakin is Darth Vader, right?
Right.
Thrawn knows. He's one of the few people that knows.
He's one of the few that knows.
Of course he'd be the only one who knows, because he's so militarily like strategic, he would be able to figure it out.
So there's like a small handful of people who knows. And if you unless you read the books, the comics, like, you would never know that. but Thrawn knows. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to this show and Hayden being involved and Thrawn being involved, like, I feel like that's a huge, I mean, you guys should know that. Like, that's like a huge tie that could be really mm-hmm. pivotal.
You think there's going to be a crossover there in like an episode or something?
No, I mean, I think, I think there's going to be a point where it could be a small moment, like similar to
right.
in this episode three, where, you know, I don't know if we've gotten to that point yet in this episode, but
we haven't, but that's all right.
But where Ahsoka acknowledge, you know, like Ahsoka and Jacen see each other and she says, and Jacen says, I want to be, you know, and Annie Sabine is going to be a Jedi. And he says, I want to be a Jedi. And she said, and she looks
at him and
she
says, cute.
And she says, I know. And everybody's heart melts, you know.
Uh-huh.
All of our hearts melt. But only if
they
you
did
saw
a good
Rebels.
Job casting, too.
They did, but only if you saw Rebels. Like, to everybody else, that moment was probably, like, cute. But it didn't make you feel anything. But for all of us, it made us feel a lot. So, like, when it comes to right. the moment that I'm talking about that could happen, like, you know, like,
I mean,
unless you know a lot of the
you know
backstory,
me, I'm a Hayden fan. Like, yeah, unless I would you know love a lot of to the have backstory. Some kind of
yeah,
yeah, and like we were gonna talk about this, you know. Toward the end, like, but I'll bring it up here real quick. Like, I think the show is doing a good job of kind of getting people integrated into this universe. I could be wrong. Like, I mean, I've watched Rebels a couple times, but I wasn't like obsessed with Rebels. I haven't seen it all sorts of time. And like, I mean, I'm not lost with it. I know who the characters are. And I feel like actually one of my customers had said something to me that he hadn't seen Rebels at all. And like he was still really enjoying Ahsoka. So, you know, like I think they're doing a good job at getting, you know, the main plot points across. But of course, there are these Easter eggs like Jacen wanting to be a Jedi. And, you know, because we all know that Kanan is his father and Kanan was a Jedi. And, you know, mm-hmm. I think they're doing.
That was a touching moment. I felt like, yeah. you know, Hera looking at him and just being like. You know, she remembering Kanan and stuff.
Right.
I thought for sure we'd have a reference or a mention of Kanan when
yeah,
Sabine was like, how am I supposed to fight if I can't see? That would have been a right. perfect opportunity to have something where yeah, it's like, oh,
it exactly
how do you think, how do you think Kanan learned how to see? You know what I mean?
Oh, right. You're right. I didn't even think of that. Maybe that'll be a deleted scene.
Well, not everything needs to be referenced. Like, I'm okay if we right. don't get certain characters in this show because the story still needs to feel organic to a certain sense. But I'm sure we'll have some kind of reference to Kanan.
I do
yeah,
feel like
I think so too.
I think they referenced that not to Kanan, but like a, you know, like the whole George thing. We always talk about the trope of it's like poetry, it rhymes, right? Mm. I think Ezra did the same thing when Kanan put that helmet on him and he said, how am I supposed to do this if I can't see anything? So it's kind of like Sabine doing the same situation with Ahsoka when Ezra did it with Kanan.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if you look at the new poster, Jacen's wearing the shoulder pad that Kanan wore in seasons 1 and 2. I could be wrong and it wouldn't really line up that it would fit
Ooh.
Him, but it looks, it's like that deep forest green color that Kanan had on there.
I sent you guys this poster this morning and I didn't even notice that.
Yeah,
you're,
it looks pretty
right.
similar.
Well, that'd maybe, be cool, yeah. maybe it, if it's not his actual shoulder pad, maybe it's just a piece of his, maybe it's a piece of it, you know, like to fit him.
Yeah.
All right, so the last part for episode one that I specifically wanted to talk about, and Kyle, thank you for, you know, when you do these show notes that you actually indulge me and you put this in, the Qui-Gon rolling in his grave.
Oh, so many memes have come out.
I know you guys mentioned it in the group chat. And again, I get it, all right? Like this cliffhanger, I know she wasn't stabbed in the same spot that Qui-Gon was stabbed in. And like, you know, I don't think any of us thought for a second that she was actually going to die.
Okay, but I did for a second. I was thinking, really? What if Dave did this, right? This is not a Game of Thrones moment, right, Matt? So like, what if this is it? Sabine's done. We thought she'd be a part of this whole series, but she's done. Like, that would have been an uproar.
No, see, I don't think he would have done that. I don't. Well, no, because she had the long hair. She hadn't cut the hair yet, so you knew that she wasn't dead yet.
But I mean, at the same time, could you imagine, like, if that was really what he did, and like, would there be such backlash, or would it be like, wow, this is really different for Star Wars?
It would be different. If Rebels didn't exist, maybe, like, if that epilogue didn't exist, I could see that possibly. But even Rebels would not have been able to exist then if you didn't want an uproar in that scenario. Like, you can't kill off a character who is in four seasons of a really beloved TV show in the first episode of a spinoff. That'd be crazy.
I agree with you.
Just a spinoff, it's season 5. I mean, I know we joke about it, but it's really true. Like, I mean, this is season 5 of Rebels for all intents and purposes.
Yeah. For a second, when I saw that, I was like, what? Okay, heal him like Ben Solo healed Rey or something. Bring her back. I don't know.
Yeah, but as far as the stab itself, though, it played fine in this scenario to me.
It did.
But it's getting overdone. Like, Rey stabbed Kylo.
Oh, you know, I didn't even think of that.
Darth Vader killed or stabbed Reva twice
as a kid, and
Sabine just got stabbed. It's like getting to be a little much, since this is not a Disney thing, but it's since Disney started making
the Grand Inquisitor. Yeah,
five different stab wounds.
Our buddy Rupert.
And like you mentioned, Darth Maul right in half, and he's still alive. So,
well, yeah, but that was the dark side and the witches. That was a whole other thing.
Well, I get that, but Kyle's right. It's doing it too much where we need to kind of cut that off.
And seriously, that was my thought with this, and why I mentioned it in the group chat, and why I wanted to mention it tonight, because, like, you know, I knew she wasn't dead, but it's like, all right, did you have to do this again? Like, you just did it in Obi-Wan twice. Three times, if you count the Inquisitor, and then I didn't even think of Rey and Kylo. Yeah, you're right. Like, see, because Rey healed Kylo, so I think that's why I don't think of it in that grouping, because he was gonna die, and then she healed him. I don't know. That's a whole nother discussion.
I just feel like what Kyle was saying is right. Like, eventually, like, the more you do this, if you keep repeating it, nobody's gonna believe that anybody actually dies.
Well, right, and that's the, like, and that's the part where, you know, poor Qui-Gon is rolling in his grave, or doing the, you know, like the,
I'm gonna
the
throw it
where the hands are on the shoulder, or not the shoulder, like his hands are on the side, and he's like, what? Like,
how I'm gonna throw a wrench. I'm gonna throw a wrench at you though. Because
what
Lincoln and I watched the first whole half of the original Star Wars movie, and
right,
no one gets touched with a single singe. So when you think about the first whole Star Wars movie, no one ever really gets hurt. Like, you see, no one ever get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're critiquing people getting stabbed through the gut.
True. I mean, that's 45 years of evolution.
It was dealing with the Sabine scene, which we may not have gotten to yet, but the Sabine scene where she throws on the helmet that Ahsoka gives to her, and you know, and she says, "How I can't see. How am I supposed to fight?"
We're getting there, right? That's just like A New Hope. Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. And so, like, going back to all the old movies, she says that. And I asked Lincoln, I was like, do you remember that line? He's like, no. And so I brought it up on YouTube real quick while we're watching the show. I'm like, I paused the show and I'm like, I brought it up. And he goes, oh my gosh, that's the same line. He's like, it's amazing. And, you know, he gets really into it. And so then he wanted to watch all the original Star Wars footage from that scene on, and I had like, there were some very interesting things that I gathered from watching that scene.
Could you imagine, like, when Lincoln said, like, Dad, it's the same line. Could you imagine if he's like, Dad, it's like poetry, it rhymes.
Oh my God, that would be awesome. I feel like
Dennis would get honestly, a kick out of that.
I thought that, personally. I thought it was poetry that rhymed.
Oh, absolutely, I'd agree.
So Lincoln said, this is poetry that rhymes, and I was like, oh my gosh, it is. Like, these two
scenes, genius.
These are poetry that rhymes.
The smartest among us.
But it still killed me that, like, these scenes were so different. Like, I loved what Dave did with that whole scene, but, and I loved the homage to the new scene, or to the original scene, but, like, it killed me that, like, they lost a lot of the feel of what the original, like, just...
Why? Because Sabine got stabbed? I think we're talking about two different things. All right, so moving on to episode 2 of Ahsoka.
Sorry, guys.
You're good, man. You're good. Stop. I know you were going somewhere with
it. There was somewhere good I was going with that, and I don't remember.
All right, so moving on to episode 2 of Ahsoka, one of the things I wanted your guys' input on is the, and they briefly touched on this in the One Mandalorian episode, but, like, the Imperial remnants basically being at all levels of the New Republic. Like, I'm sorry, but I'm with Hera on this one. It just spells trouble. Like, or whoever said, like, you know, why would you keep Imperial remnants, you know, like I don't remember what the line was. I don't remember exactly how they said it, but I remember watching it and I'm like, yes, exactly. Like, you know, and I understand that, you know, like, the Empire ruled for so long and, you know, the New Republic was trying to take over, and of course you're gonna, you know, you might not have the manpower or whatever, but, like, whose idea was this to keep all of these people?
You had to integrate them, right? So, like, you didn't want to, like, put them all in prison or banish them. You wanted to use their skills to help the New Republic.
And the amnesty program that they showed in Mandalorian makes sense. Like, you know, Dr. Pershing and all that.
Wait, amnesty? Was that Mandalorian or was that Andor? I'm getting stuff confused.
That was Mando.
It was the
Andor episode of Mando.
Right.
Gosh, man, exactly. There's so much.
The Andorlorian. Yes, exactly.
The Andorlorian, yeah.
That episode. But no, like, the stuff with Dr. Pershing and stuff, like, I remember talking about it with you guys. Like, I was very interested in it. Like, I thought it was really cool. And then, like, in this episode, you know, obviously it shows even more how bad of an idea it is. And it makes it more believable that something like the First Order could come up and just,
sure,
you know, destroy the New Republic some 30 years later. You know what I mean? Like, because the moment
you guys said that in the text chat or the group chat that we talk in, it was like the moment I saw this guy, I knew, because I had been recently watching or rewatching House episodes. I was like, that's the doctor from House. He's in this episode. Like, what is happening here?
I know. That's what I was talking to Sydney about. Everything. I was like, what is this guy in?
He's in everything. Yeah. You look up his IMDb. He's in everything.
Yeah,
like, it's
and
crazy.
Very well deserved. He was great. I was really worried about this
show.
He was
awesome. I really liked him.
There's still 5 episodes to go, but I was really hoping we wouldn't have any of these freaking SNL cameos again. Like, I gotta tell you, man, like, Jack Black more so than Lizzo, but those two threw me out of the episode of Mando that
we
watched.
You didn't want, like, Oprah coming in or something, you know?
Man, and I saw that guy and I was like, oh shit, like,
another guy
with this SNL BS.
He was actually really good. I was gonna say, I think he did good. And I told you this during when we were talking about The Mandalorian, and then we were talking about it in London. Like, I for me, Lizzo was fine. It was Jack Black, and even Christopher Lloyd threw me out of that episode. Like,
yeah, I think so too.
It was just, I don't know. Like, I thought it was odd that all three of them were in one episode. I thought it was, I don't know. Even though Lizzo had the stuff with Grogu, like, that didn't bother me. Like, I thought it was, it kind of reminded me of Peli Motto. Like, you know, yeah, how she was all over Grogu and, like, whatever, you know what I mean?
But, you know, like, Bryce Dallas Howard was like, everybody's like, hey, can we come out? She's like, sure, why not? Let's throw you into Star Wars. Let's go ahead and do it.
Well, yeah, but you don't have to do three in one episode. But no, like, this guy did good. Like, and I thought Corellia was really interesting. Like, I thought it was cool to go back to Corellia because we haven't really seen it since Solo.
Okay, honestly, three out of four of us here were just looking at Hera on that transport. Let's just say it. She was looking good. They did a great job she's portrayed.
I love Hera and that whole... I think it's 2%. More than 2%.
Matt's awake now. Matt's awake now.
sorry, Emily Swallow. Katie Sackhoff, it's more than 2%. Hera's got more than 2%.
Yeah, a little bit.
I think I've got a pretty good insight on that whole Imperial thing. Like, if you think about it in terms of our actual current government, and I'm going to try to keep this very brief and very short, but so in terms of, like, the whole change from the Empire to what everybody wants the New Republic to be, like, everybody thinks it's just going to be, like, the Empire ends, the New Republic begins, and you go from one government to the other, and it's, everything is great. But it's like, I think they're 100% like echoing what is going on in today's society, where it's not like, it doesn't just change from one thing to the next. You know, you don't just go from like one political government to the next. Like, it's a squishy, like, it's not a clean transition. So, like,
that's a good point.
You know, no, you go, and I know, and like, I know that, you know, and like, it's never going to be.
So, like, you know, the Empire ends, and the Empire, everybody thinks it's just the Emperor, but it's not just the Emperor.
No, there was all these loyalists and millions
of people involved in the Empire at every levels, and people think that that's just going to magically just end and drop off because the head is cut off, but it's not that way. And that's where I think Hera and this show and The Mandalorian and Andor, I think they're all trying to show this, and it's a deeper thing that I think they tried to show in the expanded universe, and then, you know, people had their own thing with whatever, and people got mad about all that. But it's these shows, they're trying to like show a deeper side of everything going on, and people either, like, as fans, either have a chance, like, have the choice of accepting it or rejecting it or not caring about it. I don't know, but I think that's like what they're trying to do. Like, they're trying to show that there's like it in Mando season 3, that, you know, with the episodes obviously with Omid and Katie O'Brien and the whole New Republic thing, like, they're trying to show that there's something more going on. And then this is tying into that, like, they're trying to show that there's more going on to the outer government of, and the lack of government of the New Republic. Like, they're kind of teasing it. Like, they are very much teasing it. And you saw that in the sequel trilogy. And I think mm-hmm. they're kind of starting to play into that. And it's all politics. Like, who expect, you know, like this last episode with, the last two episodes, episode 2, where they really got into the bureaucracy of the Empire and the people who didn't want to let go, and they're trying to like make money and do all that kind of stuff. Like that is real life. Like in terms of,
oh sure,
you know, like what goes on in real, like in the real world, like they are like that is what happens in human nature. Like they're showing things, and I that think sometimes like that are logical, and so people like the I think like some of the frustration that I've seen online with the Ahsoka show, like that bothers me, is people that don't, they're not seeing the stuff.
I think what happens is, you know, when they go into stuff like this, like with the Empire and the Imperial Remnant and all that stuff, it almost hits too close to home for some people. And like, you know, you ultimately, you come to Star Wars because it's a fantasy. It's an escape. It's, you know, it's us hanging out for 3 hours on a Thursday night talking about these fictional characters. And, you know, like it. So when they bring in something like this, where it eerily mirrors maybe stuff that's going on in the real world, you know, I think a certain amount of the population doesn't respond positively to that. And they take their aggression out on the show or the movie or whatever, where really, I mean, you know, if you look back at the original trilogies, they were basically Nazis. You know what I mean?
Pretty much.
And like, I know Doug Chang has said this many times, like if the original trilogy was World War II, then, you know, like some of the inspiration for the prequel trilogy was World War I. You know what I mean? Like, you know, with different 100%. Stuff and right. Like whatever. And it, and you know, like it all builds up and whatever. And then, you know, we've got the sequel trilogy era and this Mandoverse era where, you know, it's more of like our, like what's going on now. And they're trying to bleed into what already happened to the sequels. And I think they're doing a really good job. And it's just, it's just sad that like that it all leads to badness again. I don't know how else to say it. Like it sucks, but like they're showing what they didn't show in the sequel trilogy, which, you know, like again, and Star Wars has a habit of doing this where they put you in the middle of the narrative. You know what I mean? Like episode 4, A New Hope. Yeah. We didn't know anything about the Emperor or the Empire.
They let you connect the dots. Like they don't want to spoon feed you. They want you to figure it out.
And they did the same thing with the sequel trilogy where, you know, you have the Battle of Endor and everything's all happy go lucky. And then, you know, oh, hey, we're going to pick up the story 30 years later. And guess what? The First Order is here and yada, yada, yada. And oh, yeah, this is Leia and Han's son. And, you know, he's leading the charge for the bad guys because he's the dark side now. And like, you know, these other series now have the way that the prequel trilogy did and the like the Clone Wars and stuff, where they're taking pieces and they're, you know, putting the puzzle pieces together and they're overall broadening our understanding of this galaxy and how the politics work and whatever. And I truthfully find it really fascinating. Like I think it's really cool.
Yeah, it goes it's really deep. The depth of it is more than just the surface when most people come into an episode like this who aren't familiar with the background of it and aren't familiar with the lore and everything. I think it really expands on that for people like us, right? Who are diehard fans who like to see this stuff on a regular basis. And it kind of speaks to us in a certain way, because for most people who don't watch the animated series or don't read up on the books or try to look at supplemental materials, you know, they're not going to really get it. They can still enjoy the episode. They can still enjoy the series, but they're not going to get that full breadth of it like we do.
Right, exactly. And like I know that I brought this up, you know, where it's like I don't understand how, you know, they get the Imperial Remnants to work for the New Republic. I mean I do, because again, at the end of the day, it's just like any other business, and you need a body and you need people who can build Star Destroyers and hyperdrives and whatever. And you know, you're going to like, but I, you know, they're just blindly assuming that everyone is okay with the New Republic. And, you know, obviously they're not. And
yeah, anyone who says that Star Wars isn't political has never paid attention.
Right. It's been political from the beginning.
It's been political from the beginning.
That's why I find it funny when there's so many like other Star Wars influencers with much larger platforms than ours who complain about modern day politics being like quote unquote shoved into Star Wars. Palpatine was directly referenced or influenced by Nixon. Like Lucas has said that multiple times.
Yes. Yep.
And we literally have Newt Gunray. Like, literally based off of a politician.
Yeah.
Verbatim from the first name, just spelled differently.
I never thought of that.
That's
true.
It's always been so. It's either been very layered or right in your face. And again, yeah, anyone who thinks that Star Wars isn't political doesn't pay attention. I think Andor did that perfectly.
Right. Yes. Very well.
I need to rewatch that series. I haven't watched it in so long, and I feel like I need to see it again because the drama in it and the way that it's filmed, the cinematography, everything, the storyline was amazing. But, you know, we're talking about Ahsoka right now. So let's get back to Ahsoka. Let's get back to what our favorite, I mean, in my opinion, our favorite droid is of this entire show. I don't know about you. I know you like Hu Yang, David, but Chopper is my guy.
Oh, of this show?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I was going to say, we all know R2 is my ride or die.
Yeah, but this show, but Rebels.
And Matt's is C-3PO. You know, we all know that. But yeah, no, of this show, yeah, no. I'm going to have to stick with Hu Yang. I love Hu Yang.
Really? You're not going to go after our favorite war criminal, Chopper?
I love Chopper, and I love how I don't understand what he says.
Oh,
and,
you do, but you
I mean,
do.
I know I do, but...
Yeah, you know, I know exactly what he's saying.
Right. I'm glad the Chopper made an appearance. But no, like, I love Hu Yang, and I did not, I'll fully admit, I didn't really connect with him during the Clone Wars when he was in that. But, like, I'm loving him in this show. I think he's great.
He's got that sarcasm, that wit.
Sabine.
Yeah. Right, yeah, his stuff with Sabine and everything. I just, I love it.
Matt, you fall short of them all.
I love Chopper.
You fall short of them all with regards to the force sensitivity of all these Padawans he's been with. Man, that was rough, man. That was hard.
And then Ahsoka was like, "You told her that." That was my favorite part because it's like, all right, yes, obviously we've discussed this, but you weren't supposed to tell her this. Look,
he's just speaking truth, man. He's just programmed to say what he's supposed to say, you know, and it doesn't really matter about her feelings.
Matt, Chopper or Hu Yang? Which one?
I'm gonna go with Chopper.
Okay, that's fair. So, with you Chopper loyalists, did you like the way he was depicted in these episodes?
1,000%. I think it's
right from the show. It's perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. I the only thing that could make it better is if Zeb comes in and they have a little scuffle randomly in the Ahsoka.
You know what? I agree with Kyle though, and we said this in the preview episode. I don't think Zeb's gonna come into this. I think they put him in the Mandalorian to show that he's still alive. Like I'm 100% team Kyle on this. Like I don't think they're gonna season two. Sure.
You don't think he's gonna be like a random hologram or be like, say hi to my favorite rust bucket or something?
I mean, if they do go that route, yeah, I think it would be something like that. It would be more of a cameo. Like, I don't think he's going to be like a main.
No, I don't think he's going to be a main character.
I wholeheartedly disagree.
You disagree? You think he's going to be in this big time?
Heck yes.
All right. Well, that's fair. All right. I don't know why. It was something like, it's something I wanted, especially since this is season 5 of Rebels, but like, when Kyle said it, it just made so much sense. I'm like, no, I think you're right. That's why they put him in Mando. That makes total sense.
Is the season 2 of Ahsoka guaranteed?
It's not guaranteed. No.
I mean, I would hope it is, but I don't think Dave would shoehorn his like one of his characters into Mando and not put him in this season.
Okay.
Just saying.
I mean, personally, I hope Book of Boba Fett had a second season, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I know, me too.
But Dave, I'm just saying, like, I don't think Dave would put one of his big characters and just flash him into Mando without putting him into the season of Rebels. My prediction is that he will show up at the end of Rebels with Hera, with Jason Syndulla, and somehow, like, Jason, Zeb, and Hera will be together, and they will see Sabine, and whenever they find Ezra, I think they're going to have a reunion.
I don't think they're going to find Ezra in this season.
What? You're nuts. That's where it's all going. They're going to use the Hoojajigger. They're going to go to the other galaxy. They're going to find Ezra, but they're unfortunately going to bring Thrawn back with them. That's where it's all heading.
Okay.
Really? We'll see. You think they're not going to find Ezra?
I think it's going to be a cliffhanger, but I might be completely wrong.
If we were guaranteed a second season, yes, I would agree that it would be a
cliffhanger. I mean, there's no guarantee on anything, but, like, if they put it on a cliffhanger, then there has to be a second season.
That's not true.
There never has to be a second season, though. I don't know.
Okay. What do you think, Kyle?
I'm pretty sure this is written to go right into the movie that Dave is making.
I think we want to have a second season. So if you want to count that as the second season, but I think Ezra will be a main player in the movie. I don't know. I see them finding him by the end of this. I
disagree, Dennis. I think Ezra is definitely probably episode 6 and onward. I think a lot of people who watch the Mando shows, and even if you love them like we do, the biggest complaint is you don't know who the villain is until the penultimate episode. At least here we have Baylan and Shin and Murak, who are kind of subsidiary villains to Thrawn, or tertiary villains, I should say, instead. But I really think we'll see Thrawn and Ezra episode 6.
Okay. I mean, I hope so, too. I mean, I honestly don't hope it goes through another season. But, I'd be happy to be completely
wrong. I'm not saying I don't want another season. I'm saying, regardless, and that's another problem, I think, with shows to begin with. Like, and I'm not necessarily talking Star Wars shows. I'm talking in general. Like, I don't think you should assume that you have a second season. I think you if you're lucky enough to get a season of a show, and granted, this is back when they were longer seasons than 8 episodes, I think you have to come in, you have to say what you want. Like, I don't know. I'm all for content, but I don't, oh no, we'll save this for season 2. Oh no, this is a season 3 plotline. Like, no, like, say what you have to say, what you want to say right away in case you don't get an opportunity to say it again. Like, you know, what if you do get canceled and then you have this great show and you have all these loose threads and it's not something like Rebels where it'll get picked up 5 years later, you know, because we have Disney Plus now and stuff. You know what I mean? Like Rebels, like, if we never got another thing of Rebels, it still came to an ending. You know what I mean? Like, we had the ending. Yes, Ezra and Thrawn were missing, but we had that kind of hope at the end with Sabine and Ahsoka. And I mean, that was still an ending to that story. Like, if we weren't getting this, I mean, I know some people still wouldn't be satisfied, but that was still a cut, clear ending of that story. This is just a lucky continuation, you know? Like, does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah, I think it makes sense.
At least that's my thought process with it. I don't know. Like,
yeah, but like Kyle said, you know, we're talking about Merrick right here. So, like, how...
Part of what I love about it is the pronunciation of his name.
Murak.
The first time they said that, I'm like, ooh, I like that.
Murak. So, what do we think of him and that Ahsoka duel that happened?
Oh, I thought it was cool. I liked it.
Her little dodge of his saber coming back was just so Anakin.
I think that's the best part. That was the best part.
Like, and I mean, it's her intrinsically as well, but that's something that she picked up. That kind of flashiness, she picked that up from Anakin.
Yeah,
and
just a tiny little movement. So like, let me just move because I know it's coming, but you're not gonna get me. I thought it was great.
The action's been great, man. I mean, I love that duel from the moment she busts through the window and comes flying down to the ground. Mm-hmm. Like, that's that kind of the acrobat stunts. We've missed a lot of that in duels, I think, since the prequels. And With the exception of Rey and Kylo on what planet was that with the where they're in the ocean kind of?
Kefbir, yes.
Yeah. That was one of the exceptions where like they're actually jumping. They look like they have force powers.
They are skywalking.
Yeah, literally. So I thought the duel was great, man. It was very well done, especially for just a part one, since we'll have part two next episode.
Yeah, is that going to be the next episode, do you think?
Episode 4, 100%, yeah.
All right, cool.
Well, I mean, if you look at, like, there's details in any images Lucasfilm releases through Empire Magazine, and the one of Marrok on CTOS is Libels episode 4.
So when they have the duels happening?
Yeah, I'm assuming it'll at least be Marrok versus Ahsoka and then Shin versus Sabine. And I'm assuming it will probably end with Baylan versus Ahsoka.
Right. And I know one of the things I love, and you guys mentioned this, like, I love all the villains. I love Morgan Elsbeth. I love Shin. Our boy Ray Stevenson is doing an amazing job. I am so intrigued by his character.
Very stoic.
Yeah, and like I was talking, I think in the group chat. I don't remember if it was in the group chat or not, but like I feel like there's some kind of connection between him and Anakin. I could be reaching. Like it was just the way he said Anakin, and then like he looked a certain way when he said it, like, you know, and how he just like he has such a respect for the Jedi. Like he didn't want to kill Ahsoka, or, you know, he was saying, you know, what a shame it would be to kill Ahsoka or whatever. Like
Yeah, that was a good line. Like he just basically said that, like, you know, it's a shame because there's so few of them left. And she's like, is that, you know, Morgan Elsbeth is like, is that some kind of like, I don't know what the word she said. It wasn't sympathy. It was kind of like, what was it? What did she say? It was something to the effect of like, do you care for them? And that really wasn't what he was trying to get at, essentially.
Right.
So, yeah. So with regards to that, I know we all love kind of like the whole scene between Ahsoka and Marrok. But, you know, with regards to, you know, the final episode that we watched before we're going to get the episode 4, what did you guys think of the whole thing with regards to, you know, Sabine's potential force sensitivity?
I personally like the fact that she's not force sensitive, or she seems not force sensitive. It's that air quote argument we were having with The Last Jedi when they said that Rey was nobody and that she wasn't like from a long line of force sensitive people or whatever. Now obviously she had force ability, but it gave that, and then, like, you know, the famous broom boy at the end, like, it gave the thing, like, you know, like anyone could be a Jedi kind of thing. Like, I feel like that's kind of what they're tapping into, and I'm all for that. Now at the same time, I know by the end of the season Sabine's gonna move that cup, so, like,
yeah,
you know, I guess she might be a little force sensitive. But I also like how Ahsoka described it, like how it lives in all of you, but it takes training and yada yada. Like that was very Yoda-esque to me, you know, like it harkened back to The Empire Strikes Back in my mind.
I agree.
That's my thought on it. Kyle, what about you, bud?
Well, first of all, I think the intro to this was like the Clone Wars opening quote, you know what I mean? Where you learn a lesson out of it. I like that a lot, because this was a very much like a Clone Wars Rebels episode. And I love how the opening theme was like that quote played out. I think that was very intentional. Could be completely off base, but I like how we're seeing a a potential Jedi fail the most, because even like with Luke, he picked it up quickly. Anakin, you don't really see a lot of that. Because, I mean, you see him as a child take down the Trade Federation ships.
That's because he's perfect.
But you don't see him learning throughout, like before Attack of the Clones. You know,
so
we kind of missed out on that. But Rey obviously like picked up very quickly. So it's nice to see somebody struggle. And I think at the end of this season, she will just be able to move the cup.
And right. Like, I'm not saying she's going to be like a powerful force user or anything. You know what I mean? But like,
she's not moving rocks by the end of the season. You know what I mean? She's
going to
be moving
cups.
But
it's all about lifting rocks.
It's all about lifting rocks.
Yeah. That's what she thought. And then Luke was like, that's not what it's about. And then, of course, it happens right at the end of Last Jedi. But yeah, I agree with you guys with Sabine. Like, the force sensitivity is interesting because it you know, Ahsoka talks about it being, you know, it's not just specifically to one or, you know, specific people. Some people can tap into it more because they're more sensitive to it and they are, you know, more yielding to it versus some people who don't even recognize it in their lives. But you know, that's something that I feel like we'll see a little bit more of as she continues to train her as her Padawan. And I think that'll be interesting to see as we move forward in the episodes. Yeah,
I'm loving it. I'm looking forward to more of like the training. And like you said, Kyle, like how we're going to see Sabine struggle. And we haven't seen that. Even Ezra in Rebels didn't really struggle that much. Would you agree? Like,
I think a fair amount. I mean, it's harder to judge this.
He was a little hot-headed and, you know, like, but yeah, but I mean, definitely movie-wise, we didn't see any real struggles.
Yeah,
and,
100%.
And you're right, Ezra a little more, and of course Ezra had the whole thing with Maul and, you know, like tempted to the dark side and all that stuff, but like, you know, in general I feel like Ezra was pretty powerful, you know, pretty quickly, but he did have to learn how to control it.
He had Kanan to teach him too, so.
Well, exactly. What about our favorite space whales?
The Purrgil. I loved it. I absolutely loved seeing them. And I think I mentioned it in our group chat that it was just like I could reach out and touch them. Like they have this texture to them where it's not just like it's like an animated cartoon. They look real.
It looked real.
So I enjoyed them a lot.
I liked them a lot. I'm sure we might see more in the next episode, but I wish we had more of the sound design because I think I mentioned to you guys when we were talking before this, but when Baylan looks up into the sky at the end of the second episode and or the midway point and you see the silhouette of the Purrgil through the sky and you hear that bellowing of the whale, that was awesome. Like if you've seen Arrival, which is one of Denis Villeneuve's movies, there's these aliens called haptopods. They have a very similar, where it's like this echoey bellow that comes from the creature. And it evoked that sound a lot to me. So I hope we get to hear more of that sound design, because obviously that's what Star Wars is known for. But the design itself, I think it was very visually captivating. And they were huge. The scale was played very well. Yeah, it reminded me a lot of the crate, like the scale of the crate dragon was played off so well. I think that this kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I loved when they flew by like the eye. You could see how big they are because the eye is because
of the eye. Yeah, exactly. And that's a good reference point for like, you know, like because we've never seen these before outside of animation. So, I like when there's little things like that where you can, you know, like kind of tell how big these things are. You know what I mean? Like. Again, like in A New Hope, when you had the original Star Destroyer and you saw how big that was, and then it's up next to the Death Star, and it's like, all right, wow, this is
it's huge. Nothing. It's tiny. Right. Yeah.
And then you've got the Super Star Destroyer in Empire Strikes Back, and it's like, what? Like, what is going on?
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. What about like predictions for the rest of the season or like episode 4? Like, I know we're going to get,
are we going to skip really quickly? Like who we think Marok might be?
I mean, can't he just be an Inquisitor?
He could be. I think he's an alien. Like, I don't think he's a human or a humanoid like Thrawn.
I think
he's an alien just because of the voice that we heard from him. I don't know who he is, but I don't think it's somebody we know.
It's Sam Witwer.
Maybe with a very, very warbled kind of voiceover or something, but
no, it's actually Sam Witwer. Like he did the voice.
Are you serious?
Yes.
No, no. He just did. He did. He does additional voices. He's not. He's
oh, not I thought the voice he did. The, I'm sorry. All right. I thought he no, did. He's... I thought he did that voice. I'm sorry.
No, right, I wanted to was, clarify it too for anybody listening. Was, like Sam Witwer does. No, you're good. Sam Witwer does voice work for every single Star Wars project, mm-hmm. more or less. Like if you look at the additional voices at the bottom, it, almost in any Star Wars live action project, whether it's a film series or a movie, or a TV series or a movie, you'll always see Matt Wood and Sam Witwer at the bottom with additional voices.
I was gonna say he's becoming the new Matt Wood. Like it's pretty.
I
cool.
found this on the web.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. All right, so I you think he, I like he think theory. He's an alien from that other galaxy? Hmm. Or just from our galaxy, so to speak.
I hadn't thought of that. I think he's just honestly another Inquisitor, like you said. We haven't heard about him yet until now. And maybe we'll get like a reference book or something that says who he is, but I don't think it's really that crucial of a point in the plot.
I mean, we know it's not Ezra.
No, and it's not Snoke. So.
No, did you saw that picture, right? It is Snoke, yeah. Of course it is.
My gosh, no.
And then he's going to take on Ezra as his new apprentice before he gets Ben Solo. So, you know, it's all leading up to that. It's all going to be Snoke.
Sounds like a nightmare. That's not going to happen.
All right. So, yeah, episode 4, Kyle said you've got the other fight with Marok, right? That's coming up in episode 4. What else do we think is going to happen? I don't want to speculate too much, truthfully. Like, I'm just enjoying the ride. Like, I'm really enjoying it. I mean, you guys can feel free to speculate. I don't really have much to add as far as speculation goes.
I don't know if Thrawn's going to come in episode 4, if that's going to be after episode 5, but we know we're going to see him at least in this season, so I really don't know. And like you said, I'm excited and interested to see what's coming, and with regards to speculation, I don't really have anything either.
Man, I don't want to be the only one.
No. Well, I can bounce off of you. I just don't have anything specific. You know what I mean?
Well, I'll just be really quick how I think the episode's going to play out. So I'm assuming pretty quickly we're going to see those two fights going on concurrently between Shin and Sabine and Ahsoka and Marok. Ahsoka's going to defeat Marok. Hopefully she kills him this time, and he'll just be a nameless, faceless villain. It's just as simple as that. Not everybody has a hidden identity. If you look through the trailers, there's that scene where Ahsoka's, or that shot where Ahsoka is fighting Baylan, and they're saber locked, but she doesn't have her Shoto blade, and she's kind of like trying to use the Force to help her saber.
Yeah.
If you look at her hand, it's like severely burnt, her hand. Mm-hmm.
Something's happened.
So he did something to her, and she only has one saber. And we've also seen, this is just me doing basic deduction, we've also seen a shot of Hera with the ghost on Cetos, like in that kind of Stonehenge place. You know what I mean? So I'm right. Like really, really, if you couple all these little clues together with the fact that they have an underwater choreographer hired for the show, I'm almost like worried that Baylan defeats Ahsoka in a sense, and like Force pushes her off the cliff or something like that happens, and she ends up in the water and has some kind of like almost near death experience or something. And that's like Hera landing too late with her gun out, wondering what's going on. And Baylan's like, sorry, I just like kind of killed your friend. My bad. You know what I mean? And they go off into space, and it kind of ends with, like, because this is the midway point of the season. So I think it'll kind of end with, oh man, we just did our hero just die in our own show halfway through the season. And then I got theories for episode 5, but we'll see how episode 4 plays out.
And I was
going to say,
and then that leads into like the Anakin stuff?
I think so, yeah. I think that experience will kind of lead to her becoming Ahsoka the White.
All right. So, yeah, so like, there was a lot of talk in the group chat about Ahsoka the White and, you know, like how she had the gray cowl in this. Like, do we think, are those two scenes the same scenes, or are they two different, like the end of, what was it, episode two? Like, is that the epilogue of Rebels, or is it not the, like, is it a rhyming of the epilogue of Rebels? Like, what, like, did she go from white to gray? Like,
I think there might be like a, it's not exactly a rhyming, but there might be, like Kyle just mentioned, if she falls into that water, a lot of the time water, especially in
rebirth,
exactly. Like, yeah. I'm thinking of the Rise of Skywalker.
So I was just going to say with that way, right. Yeah. Like with Ben. Right. Exactly. Right.
And so in this situation, I think we are going to see that scene again. We've talked about this in the group chat that what we're seeing now is not a change or necessarily maybe a retcon, but it's something that, you know, we're still in anticipation of seeing that scene. It's just that we've only seen that scene in animation so far.
Right. Okay.
And I'm kind of on not the opposite side of the coin, but the edge of the coin with that one, I would say. I think that for all intents and purposes, that's the scene. That's the epilogue. I think while writing this story, Dave probably realized that it fits better for me to keep her as Ahsoka the Grey for now and let us see that moment where she becomes Ahsoka the White, because it makes sense for that to happen along this journey rather than before, because this is kind of the biggest undertaking Ahsoka's ever had.
Right.
So I think he's taking liberties with his own story.
And obviously at the time when they made Rebels, I don't think, you know, he knew he was going to get to do a live action Ahsoka. You know what I mean? So again, what I was talking about, like it being an ending, you know, that was the ending. Like, this is where we were going, and now he's actually getting to tell the story.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, I am interested to see about that water kind of baptism thing, because I never even thought that was happening, but I know that it's coming. So I'm not going to lie,
when you mentioned the underwater choreographer the other day, I just thought it was for Space Ahsoka. Like, they did it in like a water thing or something.
So she'd float, you know, and stuff?
Like, yeah. So she'd float, yeah, because, I mean, it's kind of similar. Ahsoka.
Just a quick thing on that. We did talk about that, too, where it's kind of like, it's absolutely a animated version of Clone Wars.
Right out of the cartoon. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And again, not a good, like, I mean, I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. Like, it wasn't bad. Like, I did think it was really cool. And I love how Ahsoka's ship, what kind of ship is that, Kyle? Do you know what kind of ship that is?
Like, T-6.
A T-6. Jedi shuttle. Oh, okay. So like how that wing like moves, you know, like she was able to like latch onto it or whatever, and then it moved so she was closer to the door or something. Like, I like that whole layout of the ship. I thought that was really cool. All right. So the last thing really quick, and then we'll wrap up for the night. What is this show accessible to non-Rebels fans? What are your guys' take on that?
So if we're talking about non-Rebels fans, people who haven't seen the animated series, I think it still is, but I think it would, I mean, I wouldn't put it past people to be confused, because there are some things in this show that you would have to have some kind of prior background knowledge to understand what's happening. Now, does that mean that it takes away from the enjoyment of it? Maybe on a little bit, on a small scale, because people who actually understand what's going on will notice the hints and the nods and the gestures and the things that Dave is putting in there specifically for us fans who know the animated series. But at the same time, it's kind of like Mando, in my opinion, where you can enjoy the aspects of it. You don't need to know the full lore, the full background. As long as you are following the plot of the storyline, you can still have some kind of either an emotional connection or just trying to understand what's going on with the show and having a good time watching it. But I do think that does detract a little bit, because as we've mentioned in so many times before, it's season 5 of Rebels, right? So it is a continuation of something that we have been watching and something that we've understood for this long of a period of time. So there is something that for people who don't normally watch the animated series or understand what's happened, they are missing out on some of it, which is why so many people have mentioned on social media and in other places, like, listen, at least review Rebels, watch certain aspects of it so you understand where this is coming from. And most people won't, but that's to their detriment because then they're coming into this kind of like with blinders on. And that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. I mean, again, I haven't watched Rebels a lot. I've watched it all the way through maybe twice, but I mean, I have enough knowledge just from you guys and reading and talking on the podcast and whatever of like what went on that I don't feel like I'm necessarily missing out on anything. I think they've done a really good job at introducing these characters for people who might not have watched it. You know, like I have a good idea who Hera is. I have a good idea who Sabine is. The one thing, and I know it's part of the story, that I really want to know is what happened during Sabine's initial training. I mean, obviously it went bad, but we don't have any details on that. Sure.
I want to know the background of that too.
Right. I would really like to know. And I'm sure just the way Dave tells stories, I have a feeling we'll get some of that. I hope it's in this show in like a flashback kind of thing. I mean, but he could always do like a Tales of a Jedi episode about it maybe or something like that, because we all know we're getting more of that. Kyle, what do you think?
I agree with both of you guys a lot. I think that watching Rebels enriches the story for a lot of this, and even Rebels is written in a way where you can kind of pick up at any season, especially with season three, like with Ezra kind of teetering on the level of the dark side and the involvement with Maul. It's a little heavy handed at first, but if you're starting off at season three, you'll understand it. And I think that's something we don't realize a lot with these Star Wars shows, where they're always writing it so that anybody can just pick up and watch it anytime. But I definitely think that a lot of these moments hit harder just because you care about the characters so much more watching the animated shows.
When Jason shows up, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And most people, but who the heck is this kid, right?
Right. Like, a lot of people probably didn't realize who that kid was. But, like, for us, it was like, oh, there's Jason. Oh, my gosh. You know, like, it was such a... And how he wants to be a Jedi. It's like, of course he does. Like his dad, you know? Like... It was awesome. I loved it.
And before I forget, Dennis, I asked you to remind me. Before we go, for this episode, I want to give major shout out to Dave Filoni for bridging that gap between Andor Mon Mothma and Ahsoka Mon Mothma. This is a huge hats off to Genevieve O'Reilly too, just an incredible actress, and I wish she was utilized more in the prequels. But that little interaction, and it's the undertones of not only it's not the writing per se, but it's the connotation with it. So when she's saying like, "Oh, how's it going with Jason? Like, I'm sure he's still chasing Chopper around or whatever." You feel this kind of like emptiness in her voice and that subtext where like something happened with her family, and I'm sure we'll see that in Andor. But she said she's had to sacrifice everything at that point in Rebels. So I'm assuming she's no longer in contact with her husband and her daughter. So that little bit of subtext just is so deeply layered. And I think that went over a lot of people's heads.
It went over mine, for sure.
I think Dave did a great job with that. It was very, very well done, in my opinion.
I have a bad feeling about her family. Like, something bad will happen to the daughter. And I mean, the husband's going to end up as part of the Empire and probably dead.
I like that. And I mean, I like that you brought that up because, yeah, you did mention that you wanted me to remind you of it. And I'm sorry about that. But I think that it's really important that, like, you kind of pointed that out, because while that was just one scene of the last episode, it's really impactful because, again, it's hearkening back to Andor and what we're going to see potentially in season two. So, you know, reminding people that this is all a connected story and it's not just isolated series. I think that that's a really important thing to remember, that her character is crucial to the entire formation of that Rebel Alliance, right, that we see eventually in The New Hope.
All right, well, that's going to do it for tonight's episode of Jawa Jabber. We will be back in the next couple of weeks with more Ahsoka recaps as this saga unfolds, as we go to other galaxies. It's gonna be a wild ride, and I can't wait. Dennis, talk to us about our social medias.
All right. Well, I look forward to the next episodes we have coming up, and I appreciate you guys listening. If you guys want to follow us on Instagram or Twitter, it would be under Jawa Jabber Pod. Or if you want to send us an email, it's going to be jabberingjawas@gmail.com. We'd love to be able to respond to any of your messages. And if you have any questions or have any concerns or anything, if you want to just be on the show and make a comment about, you know, what your opinions are on the show, we would appreciate it. And we'll hopefully read them on the air for you. So thanks for listening, and may the Force be with you.
All right, that's going to do it for tonight's episode. So for Matt the Radar Technician, Kai Nobi, Dennis the Phantom Menace, I am your Supreme Leader, David Wren. Thank you very much for listening. And as always, may the Force be with you. Thank you.